With a final, jerking movement, he thrust the bundle into Granny's arms and toppled forward, the feathers of a crossbow bolt sticking out of his back. Three figures moved into the firelight. Granny looked up into another pair of eyes, which were as chilly as the slopes of hell. Their owner threw his crossbow aside. There was a glimpse of chainmail under his sodden cloak as he drew his sword. He didn't flourish it. The eyes that didn't leave Granny's face weren't the eyes of anyone who bothers about flourishing things. They were the eyes of one who knows exactly what swords are for. He reached out his hand.
"You will give it to me," he said.
Granny twitched aside the blanket in her arms and looked down at a small face wrapped in sleep. She looked up.
"No,"
she said on general principles. The soldier glanced from her to McGrath and Nanny Ogg, who were as still as the standing stones of the moor.
"You are witches," he said.
Granny nodded. Lightning skewered down from the sky and a bush 100 yards away blossomed into fire. The two soldiers behind the man muttered something, but he smiled and raised a mailed hand.
"Does the skin of witches turn aside steel?" he said. "Not that I'm aware," said Granny levelly. "You could give it a try."
One of the soldiers stepped forward and touched the man's arm gingerly.
"Sir, with respect, sir, it's not a good idea."
"Be silent."
"But it's terrible bad luck to—"
"Must I ask you again?"
"Sir,"
said the man. His eyes caught Granny's for a moment and reflected hopeless terror. The leader grinned at Granny, who hadn't moved a muscle.
"Your peasant magic is for fools, Mother of the Night. I can strike you down where you stand." "Then strike, man," said Granny, looking over her shoulder. "If your heart tells you, strike as hard as you dare."
The man raised his sword. Lightning speared down again, split a stone a few yards away, filling the air with smoke and the stink of burnt silicone.
"Missed," he said smugly,
and Granny saw his muscles tense as he prepared to bring the sword down. A look of extreme puzzlement crossed his face. He tilted his head sideways and opened his mouth, as if trying to come to terms with a new idea. His sword dropped out of his hand and landed point downwards in the peat. Then he gave a sigh and folded up, very gently, collapsing in a heap at Granny's feet. She gave him a gentle prod with her toe.
"Perhaps you weren't aware of what I was aiming at," she whispered. "Mother of the Night, indeed."
The soldier who had tried to restrain the man stared in horror at the bloody dagger in his hand and backed away.
I couldn't let... He shouldn't have... It's not right to..."
he stuttered.
"Are you from around these parts, young man?"
said Granny. He dropped to his knees.
"Mad Wolf, Mum,"
he said. He stared back at the fallen captain.
"They'll kill me now,"
he wailed.
"But you did what you thought was right," said Granny.
"I didn't become a soldier for this, not to go around killing people."
"Exactly right. If I was you, I'd become a sailor," said Granny, thoughtfully. "Yes, a nautical career. I should start as soon as possible. Now, in fact. Run off, man. Run off to sea where there are no tracks. You will have a long and successful life, I promise."
She looked thoughtful for a moment and added,
"At least longer than it's likely to be if you hang around here."
He pulled himself upward, gave her a look compounded of gratitude and awe, and ran off into the mist.
"And now perhaps someone will tell us what this is all about,"
said Granny, turning to the third man. To where the third man had been. There was the distant drumming of hoofs on the turf, and then silence. Nanny Ogg hobbled forward.
"I could catch him,"
she said.
"What do you think?"
Granny shook her head.